Hi and welcome to my talk. I'm David Georg Reichelt from University of Leipzig, and I'm going to show you how to identify performance changes at code level in CI. Often if you think about performance, you think about scaling microservices or finding the bottleneck in your database. This time it's about the internal performance of your components, so the performance at code level, since your software will only perform good if your components internally perform good. To measure the performance at code level, I'm developing the tool PEAS, which stands for Performance Analysis of Software Systems, and which finds a piece of all problems, so the problems at code level, not the problems at architecture or deployment level. Currently, PEAS is a research prototype and then a project funded by the German Federal Ministry for Research and Education. We're working together with industry partners to make PEAS usable for everyday software development. Now some people may say, hey, I'm a confident developer. I know what my software does at code level, and therefore I do not need to measure the performance in every version. While in many cases this might be true, in many cases you know what performance impact your code changes has, often you do a lot of changes like in this commit, and if you make a lot of commits, make a lot of changes in one commit, then it might happen that you overlook a change, and therefore better safe than sorry. If you measure the performance at code level, you can assure or at least be more confident that you do not overlook a performance regression. And the second reason why you should measure the performance at code level lies in the nature of modern languages like Java. So PEAS measures Java. Here are two versions of the same functionality. You might now guess what's the faster version. In fact, it's the right-hand side in most current OpenJDK versions. And this is the case due to internal optimizations of the JVM. So the JVM does internal optimizations, which slow down the left-hand side. If you want to know in depth why this happens, have a look at this paper. But all in all, it's hard to know what's the best implementation at code level, and therefore to have the best performance at code level in your application, you'll need to measure the performance. Now, to measure the performance of our software, we need a specification of the workload to measure and a tool to execute this specification. This can be done using benchmarks, which test a component or a part of a component, or load tests, which send requests to a system and thereby measure how the system performs under load. In an ideal world, we would maintain such benchmark or load test specifications with our repository, but since this is time-consuming, in real world, less than 1% of all projects maintains such load test scripts or benchmark specifications, according to a study on open source projects. But according to the same study, about 1/3 of all projects maintains unit tests. And additionally, if unit tests are present, often they have a big coverage of the program's code. Therefore, we make the unit test assumption. We assume that the performance of the unit tests can be used as a proxy for the performance of the software, or at least the performance of a part of the unit tests can be used as a proxy for the performance of a part of the software. This might not work in every case, because the performance of the software might be mainly driven by parallel usage, or unit tests may mainly test corner cases or make use of functional utilities which change the performance. But still, in many cases, unit tests specify use cases of the API, and therefore they specify calls which are executed in production, and therefore they specify workloads which are executed in production. Therefore, we believe that they can be used in many cases as a proxy for the performance. This will not work in every case, so if you want to measure the parallel performance, you'll still need a load test. But unit tests, or measuring the performance of unit tests, can be done without additional workload definition, and it will give you an additional information where your performance at code level changed, so it will be able to identify a piece of all performance changes. Now, to measure the performance of our software, we need a measurement process. We get started by a repository with its version and the tests in each version. And to measure the performance, it's not sufficient to just execute it once and measure the performance once, since the warm-up changes the performance and also other non-deterministic effects change the performance. Therefore, we get started by one VM, doing some warm-up measurements, and then we take measurement iterations where we measure the performance of the repetition of the workload. But this optimizations may end up in different steady states. Therefore, we need to repeat the measurement and repeat the VM starts and the warm-up and measurement iterations. And in many cases, you need at least about 30 VMs to reliably identify a performance change. So after this measurement, we get a distribution axis of the current version and of the old version, and then PEASE identifies performance changes using two-sided t-test. This measurement process is very time-consuming, since we need to repeat the workload that often. Therefore, PEASE uses a regression test selection, so we get started by our tests. And then PEASE identifies using a mixture of static and dynamic code analysis which classes are called by the tests, and if we have a change, where we can tell using the git diff which method has changed. If we got this change, then we look which test calls the changed source code, and only this test needs to be measured. In this case, only test one. Now, PEASE uses a repository, executes a regression test selection, and then measures the selected tests. Thereby, PEASE could tell the developer these tests have changed performance. But since the developer may change many methods, and these methods may all be in the call tree of this test, the developer needs to know what's the root cause of the performance change. Therefore, PEASE executes a root cause analysis where it measures the call tree, so each individual node of the call tree, and tells the developer where a performance change did happen. And in this case, we see that foo, do, and fem have performance changes. And since fem has a performance change and its childs do not have a performance change, it's likely that fem is the root cause of the performance change. Yeah, this is the overall approach of PEASE. And now I'd like to show you a demonstration how this currently works in practice. To use PEASE, you can use a Jenkins plugin. And you could also use the command line interface. So if you're not using Jenkins, this is also possible. But now for the demonstration, I'm using the Jenkins plugin. Here I've checked out Apache Commons File Upload, which is a Java library for file upload. And now to measure the performance, we need to configure the measurement process. So we need to specify how many VMs are executed, how many iterations, how many warm-up iterations, and so on. And since the root cause analysis with the individual node measurement is time consuming, we can also disable it here. After we specified this, we execute the process. This takes some time. And afterwards, we get in the build a performance measurement overview, where we see which tests have performance changes. And this concrete, so this is commit, which we've seen in the beginning, where we had this 15 files changed. Here, four test cases contain a performance change, and we see 12 measurements, so the individual histograms of 12 performance measurements. For example, here, no performance change did take place. Now we can go through the measurements and see the performance changes. For example, here, test file upload has a performance change, which we also clearly see in the histogram. And now to find out why this happened, we can have a look at this at the call tree of this of this test case. Here we see what's the structure of the call tree, and as this is made for a little bit bigger resolution, we can now go through the call tree and see which method has gotten slower. So red means slower, green means faster. And we can have a look at the individual histogram and also at the source code. And here in the stripes indicate a source code change. And here we see that in the old version, a buffer was introduced, which is not introduced in the newer version anymore. And then we see later on here, a loop starts, And then streams.copy is called with this buffer in the old version, and then in the new version, the buffer is not passed anymore because it does not exist anymore. Yeah, now this first thing we can observe, then we could have a look at the childs, which is in this case copy, and in the copy method, so in the old version, the standard copy method is called with the buffer, and in the new version, the method which takes the buffer is called with a new buffer. So in the end, in the new version, the buffer is created every loop iteration, and in the old version, the buffer is just created once before the loop. Therefore, the old version was faster. In this concrete case, I also committed a patch, so this is fixed. And now, sometimes because of warm-up or other effects, we do not see this the histogram so clear. Therefore, we can now further inspect the node. And in this node, so in this beginning, we see the histogram like we've seen it before, also with the t-value and the statistics of this measurements. Now we could select, for example, only 3 VMs and have a look at the trend in this 3 VMs after the warm-up. So here we see the trend kind of looks okay. So there are no spikes and no big performance changes. And if there would be spikes, we could zoom in and see how the performance measurements change. And also see the statistics change. And thereby we could also identify, for example, that our warm-up is too slow in our measurement process. Yeah, this demonstration has been created with these components. So Peace Core is a Java project, which contains the dependency module, which does the regression test selection, the measurement module, which does measurement, and an analysis module. And yeah, this could be used directly using the command line interface or using PCI, which is the Jenkins plugin. And internally, Peace uses CopyMe for the performance measurement, and for the measurement of the individual nodes, the monitoring framework Kika is used. All these tools are open source, and you could just check them out if you're interested. Now this basically works. What are our next steps? We are trying to make the measurement more reliable and fast. So we try to speed up the measurement by parallel execution. So since the unit tests mostly contain sequential workload, it could be possible to not lose precision and execute the measurements in parallel. We are also experimenting with isolating the measurements with seek groups. And for the root cause analysis, currently each level of the call tree is measured individually, which takes some time. We are experimenting with different selection modes of the call tree. For example, select two levels at one time or doing a more intelligent node selection. Then we're trying to optimize the measurement probes to reduce the overhead and some other methods to make the measurements more reliable and fast. So currently it takes about some hours to get performance measurements, and we hope to further make this faster. Then, as I've said in the beginning, we're trying also to use these tools. We're trying experimentally to use them for open source projects and for the projects of our industry partners to find problems in everyday use and to make it more, to make it usable for software developers. Yeah, if you want to get involved and bring peace to the world, then try it out and tell us your experience. And if you want to implement new features, fix bugs, then we are also open for pull requests. Yeah, this was my presentation. Thanks for your attention, and I'm looking forward to the discussion.